We love language. We love words, how we use them. You let us know when we abuse them. But even we who love words wept and were overwhelmed by the new book from former BuzzFeed Global Copy editor Emmy Favilla, because she loves words more than we do, and it's almost too much. Emmy got a lot of buzz when her style guide for BuzzFeed's writers went public in 2014. It was called The Unofficial Style Guide for the Internet. Now Emmy expands those thoughts in the new book, A World Without Whom? The Essential Guide to Language in the BuzzFeed Age. Have you heard millennials use the word adulting, as in, I'm paying the bills, working 9 to 5, adulting? Emmy joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just overwhelmed. When to do the apostrophe, when to do the hyphen. It doesn't stop. But you say right at the beginning, this is about feelings, not rules, because how can anyone in good conscience create blanket rules for something as fluid, as personal, and as alive as language? But then you tell us, personal pronouns never take apostrophe. So it's hers, never her apostrophe S. That would be her is. Effect means have an effect on. Effect means make something like change happen. So there are rules.
There are rules. I think that the number of hard and fast rules is dwindling a bit. It's funny to me how everything else in our world evolves, technology, the food we eat, our fashion, but for whatever reason, language is this one thing that people are such sticklers about.
Well, trust us, you're talking about the language police, and we hear from them. It sounds like your basic point is you want to be understood and you want to be clear. So you have to know that discrete, D-I-S-C-R-E-T-E, means distinct, but discrete, D-I-S-C-R-E-E-T, means unobtrusive. You know, you want to use the right words.
Absolutely. Sometimes that means that we can use words that aren't, quote unquote, real words, words that aren't in the dictionary, like adulting.
Right. Well, and just I'm open to your pop quiz. You want to give another example?
Another example of words that are often misspelled are hoards. So a hoard, H-O-A-R-D, is a large collection of something, while a hoard, H-O-R-D-E, is a large group of people. Uh-huh. And as a copy editor, I feel like this is one of the top spelling mistakes that I see, even from professional journalists and writers. And to be quite honest, sometimes I have to double check, too, because after looking at words on a screen all day long, sometimes I kind of feel like my brain is deteriorating a little bit. And I'm like, oh, wait, is that the spelling that means this?
I love metal, and metal.
Oh,
there's all four
one.
Of them. Yeah. So a medal with a D is what you get for achievement. Medal with two Ds, M-E-D-D-L-E, to interfere. Metal, the substance. And metal with two Ts, strength of spirit. I think people can be forgiven for mixing up their metal with two Ts and their medal with two Ds.
Oh, I'm sure that I have as well.
One of our favorite chapters is How Not to Be a Jerk, writing about sensitive topics. You point out we've become more aware of inclusive language, so avoid committed suicide and took one's life, because to some, committed carries a sort of criminal or negative connotation. What are some of the other ways you've had to rethink language to be sensitive?
Well, one of the big things that we as editors at BuzzFeed that we come across a lot is talking about people with diseases or disabilities or dealing with some kind of ailment or condition. And person-first language is really important. Person-first language meaning that you put the person before you put their disease or their condition, because ultimately we're talking about a human and we're not talking about a disease that has, you know, overtaken a person. Mm-hmm. And so what that means in practice is that you would say, she has cancer. Rather than saying she is a cancer victim, you also want to avoid phrases that may connote pity and a sense that a person is in this position of powerlessness. She is a wheelchair user rather than being confined to a wheelchair, which has that same sort of connotation.
Well, the one that always comes to us, I don't see it here, but it's the same thinking, person with autism rather than an autistic.
It's really interesting because we were actually approached by various activists and people who represented organizations for autistic people, and they actually asked us to refer to autistic people as that because autism is such an integral part of their identity in the same way that being a deaf person is. You wouldn't really ever find yourself saying a person with deafness. You would say, you know, he or she or they are a deaf person.
Well, you just said something interesting. You said he, she, they. They has really become popular.
Oh, it sure has. I am a very big proponent of the singular epicene they. First of all, let's all be honest with ourselves. It's the way that we actually talk. We'll say something like, well, if a person is doing X, they should do Y. And then, of course, you know, it makes room for multiple genders, for people who don't identify as male or female. And it just makes for smoother prose when you can avoid the alternative he/she or S in brackets
right
he or S/HE or whatever the alternative that's not only an eyesore but just sort of awkward to say in speech. And so they is a lifesaver.
And increasingly, you may not be sure. You know, because people are gender fluid. Look, I want to you've got the chapter How Social Media Has Changed the Game. There's like three pages on the 42 ways to type laughter on social media. This is from your colleague, Katie Heaney. There's like everything from ha-ha to mwa-ha to laugh out loud. I didn't realize that laugh out loud or LOL now means I feel nothing. I want this conversation to be over with. But how? I mean, what's the broadest thing you can say about how social media has changed everything?
Well, for one thing, it's killed the period, as some might want to argue. I don't think it's killed the period, but it has it has lessened its importance as end punctuation, because now we can send texts that are one-line messages. We can send direct messages, whether that is over GChat or over Facebook Messenger or as a tweet or wherever you are sending your one-line message. Now we don't need that end punctuation. And millennials, you know, as they are wont to do, killing everything from napkins to the diamond industry to cereal and whatever else millennials are killing, they have a tendency, I think, that there have been tons of think pieces already written about this, that the period at the end of a sentence can convey a sort of formality that can come off as aggressive or indicating anger or tension. And it's so wild that the period, which is the building block of our language punctuation-wise, is sort of a loaded punctuation mark now. Also, in tweets, you know, we have a tendency to not use other types of punctuation like commas and not use capitalization at the beginning of a sentence. And sometimes it's deliberate to kind of affect a breezy, aloof kind of tone, especially when it's a kind of weighty statement. There's just a kind of coolness or funniness or whatever the tone you're looking for may be that comes with not punctuating and not correctly capitalizing.
Look, Emmy Favilla, the title of the book is A World Without Whom. For some of us, we think of when John Kerry, the former senator, secretary of state, presidential candidate, was said to have said, whom among us can forget something? And everybody, oh, I mean, that immediately telegraphed that he might be something of an elite. Others would say maybe he was just using language correctly. But what do you mean about a world without whom?
Whom is an antiquated word. We don't use it in everyday speech, in everyday conversation. I see it going the way of shan't. You know, it's just kind of a word that we are organically using less and less. It doesn't really come naturally in speech. It sort of seems pretentious, overly formal. And the worst is when you use whom incorrectly. And I quote Lisa McClendon, who is a very cool professor, I believe, at the University of Kansas. And she presented a session at a conference where she said, always use who this way. You're not wrong and pretentious. And that really stuck with me. And it struck a chord and was a bit of the influence behind the title of the book. It's an example of the way that our language is changing and something we can kind of let go of without feeling bad about it.
Well, we shan't use whom then. Emmy Favilla, your new book, A World Without Whom, The Essential Guide to Language in the BuzzFeed Age. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.